In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I never cease to be amazed. You would think that I've lived enough life and seen enough of life that maybe that wouldn't be as frequent an occurrence as it is. But it seems as though just about every single day, sooner or later, someone or something crossing my path has me thinking to myself, that is truly amazing. Is it the same for you? Are you readily and awfully often amazed at things? Or do you find yourself more in the other side of the category? That you find that you're often dismayed at what's going on around you. That you never cease to be dismayed. We tend to use those words almost as if they're synonyms, but they really aren't. We may say to someone, you never cease to amaze me. But with the head shake on the receiving end, what they really are hearing and what we really do mean is, you never cease to dismay me. When you read the words of our lesson this morning, it's very easy for us to jump to the conclusion at the end that what Jesus is really feeling in that moment of rejection at his hometown, at his own synagogue, was dismay. But that's not what the word says. After thinking about it, you and I should be amazed that it says that Jesus was amazed at the level of unbelief of his hometown folks. But dismayed? That's not what it says. Let's read again from Matthew 6, and this time we'll include the last portion of the sixth verse. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Why? Why was Jesus so amazed at their unbelief? Because it was so unreasonable. These were the people who knew him best. These were the people who had observed his life from the moment that Mary and Joseph had landed there in Nazareth until the moment he walked away from his town to head down to the Jordan to be baptized by John to begin his ministry. He had never given them any reason to doubt. He was a smart man, a wise man, a man who could even do miracles. He had been perfect his whole life. They had watched him grow up. They had watched him study there amongst them in the synagogue, asking marvelous questions and always giving perfect answers. He had always been a stable presence there. Not a one of them could prove him guilty of any sin. As a toddler, he never threw a tantrum. He never had one of those stretches of rebellion during his teenage years. As a big brother, he always took very responsible care of his siblings. He worked hard. He lived a clean life. He was happy, honest, well-adjusted. There was really nothing about him that would lead anyone to find any challenge in knowing him or being around him. He was as buttoned down and squared away a young man as any of them had ever experienced. So why in the world did they take offense at him here? It's simply unreasonable. It's more about them than it is about Jesus. They could only see him as one of them. In essence, they were saying to Jesus, "You're no better than any of the rest of us. We know who you are. We know where you grew up. We know what your life has been all about. You haven't had any more education than any of the rest of us here in this town, right here at this synagogue. You haven't traveled far and wide beyond this podunk town to have big experiences that none of the rest of us have had that should make you any different. You aren't any more special or more powerful than any of the rest of us." They were jealous of him. They were suspicious of him. It just didn't make any sense to them that someone they knew so well, that they knew so much about, could speak with such authority and do such amazing miracles. It was more than their thinking aloud. So instead of listening, instead of observing, instead of contemplating, they just rejected him out of hand. Does that sound familiar? Do we not live in a world filled with people who believe they know a lot about Jesus, but have never really opened the scriptures to listen to what he has to say, to follow his path through life from his amazing conception in a virgin to his voluntary death? A life that's an open book for all of us to see. No, rather, they know just enough about Jesus to have their perception, their understanding of Jesus formed. And since it's what they believe about him, that's good enough, and they will push him aside the same way they did here. There are many Christians who even take the same approach to Jesus. Who the Bible presents him to be just doesn't make much sense to them. It's unreasonable in their minds. And so they come to the conclusion, as many have for centuries, through generation after generation, that the man presented to us here, this Jesus of Nazareth, is no more than the most able, most vibrant and dynamic, wise man of his generation. And when you look at history, those people have existed in each generation for thousands and thousands of years. He can't be anything more than what we can clearly see, because that would be unreasonable. Or is it more unreasonable to not let Jesus speak for himself? To not dig into the historical, inspired scriptures that present him to us doing all the things that he was able to do? Not just claim it, but do it. His life was an open book. He invited all of the people of his day, as he invites you and me, to dig into the Old Testament to find all of the prophecies and promises that were made about him, and then to take all of the New Testament and examine it every place that it says he had fulfilled every one of those promises and prophecies, and find out for ourselves who he really is. He invites you and everyone you know to invest yourselves in finding out everything you possibly can to get to know him as well as you possibly can, and then and only then can you make a true decision about who he is. Only then can you learn enough about him for the Holy Spirit to capture your heart and lead you to trust. Jesus is the most important person any human being will ever encounter. So anything short of full investment in growing to know him completely, that's unreasonable. And is simply amazing to Jesus. He makes that clear in these verses. But it's also very harmful. We read again that verse He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. The people of Nazareth seemed to not know or understand just what they were doing, how they were harming themselves by rejecting Jesus. Their unbelief was slowly killing them. They had so many needs, he could answer. He was willing and able to do everything that they needed from him. His heart was open to them. He knew these people better than anyone else. And those miracles that some of them had witnessed, certainly all of them had heard about, the powerful expression of forgiveness and the speaking of Scripture with an authority that would guide life and give purpose to life, it was all there readily available to them. Jesus was present among them. But he was very limited in what he could do there. Not because he wasn't able, not because he didn't want to, but because they wouldn't let him. Their unbelief stopped him. In other words, Jesus could not do for them what he wanted to do and was willing to do because they would not let him. And that is harmful. But it is a harm that we often bring upon ourselves on a daily basis, isn't it? As the world influences us, as we get a little bit of wind in our sails, in our careers, or in our family life, and we believe that we have answers, unique and important answers to shape our lives and to guide us and to give us an advantage over others, whether it's the amount in our checkbooks or our investments, or whether it's the medications on the shelf, whether it's relationships or positions of authority that we might attain in organization or community, we seem to think at times that we have answers that are better than God's answers. And we often then settle for far less than what God is willing to do for us in answer to our prayers. What he's willing and able and ready to do, that he has promised that he will do. That's because so often it requires of us, as it did of those people in Jesus' hometown, more than we're willing to give, more than we're willing to pay. It really means surrendering ourselves completely to God's will, to God's influence in our lives, and also be willing to give him all the glory every day for anything and everything that our lives might accomplish. Whether that's in our home life or whether it's in our careers or in the community, anything and everything. If we're simply using the talents that God has given us by his guidance, meeting the opportunities that he's created in advance for us to do those good works, too often we think that is just too expensive. God promises to meet our every need in every way if we truly just let him have his way in our lives. Who does that? Who truly does that? Sooner or later, almost on a daily basis, we all join the ranks of the scoffers of Nazareth and refuse to let our Savior do what he desires to do. We know what his will is in our serving others selflessly. We know what his will is in the sacrificial giving of our lives and our offerings in worship and praise of him. We know what his will is in regard to our sexuality and our relationships and all of those issues of our lives. There is no doubt what the scriptures clearly say about these things. We know that he has an expectation that we will be remaining sober and vigilant in our lives and aware of all the temptations that surround us. And in the end, we have to admit that in many ways we bring just as much harm on ourselves by our treatment of Jesus through our unbelief and our misbelief as the people of Nazareth did that day. But we also know Jesus' forgiving love. We also know and see in his word that he let nothing distract him or dissuade him or keep him from walking through that perfect life of obedience and love straight to the cross to pay the price for the people of Nazareth, for you and for me. We know that he fulfilled the promise to take upon himself every disease, every heartache, every element of the brokenness of our lives that were present in the people that day that he desired to heal, but they wouldn't let him. He took all of that into himself so that by his wounds, by his suffering, by his pain and his abandonment experienced by his Father, he would heal us. He would give us those answers. That's why Jesus is amazed when we look sideways at his answers, at his solutions, at his promises, and his blessings. He knows that his answers are better than our answers. He knows that our answers, because of the human sin that taints every one of them, will only eventually lead us further into harm. Why wouldn't he be amazed at the unbelief of the people of Nazareth that day and amazed at our unbelief as well? When we refuse to allow him to save us. And to me, that's the most challenging element of the verses that are in front of us today. The people that knew Jesus best, that knew him from childhood, that clearly knew in the things that they say of what he could do, not only to help them in the moment right now in this earthly life, but that he had authority. He spoke God's word clearly and boldly with conviction and application like they had never heard before. That they pushed him away. And so, Jesus went around teaching from village to village. They pushed Jesus away, and so he moved on. How tragic. How eternally tragic. You and I wonder how many of those people that day never did embrace the gospel, never did allow the Holy Spirit any opportunity in their lives because how they felt about all of this. He knew what he came to offer. He knew he had everything they were looking for and longing for. He knew that they had heard his powerful words and that some of them had watched his miracles. He knew that every single one of those people in their heart of hearts needed what he had and longed for what he had to offer them. But they pushed him away. They made it clear that they could not accept what he was offering them because they could not receive it from him. It was personal. They knew him too well. And so they had to take a step back and push him away. He was the problem. He could not be their savior. You and I are dismayed on a daily basis by all the voices we see and the things that we read regarding the world, trying to redefine what God's clear will is for our lives, for his creation. And we also see and hear plenty of people speaking about sin and salvation and a path to spirituality and of making this world a better place, irrespective of what God promises about eternity and the challenges of our journey there. You and I are saddened by what we know will be the result for all of the people who are captured up into what the world presents as the answers to life's biggest questions, eternal punishment. And yet we are continually worn down day by day by day of this swirl of unbelief and misbelief going on all around us. And we know that it influences us also to misunderstand Jesus often and misbelieve things sometimes that we've known all of our lives We need someone else tapping us on the shoulder to say, really? On the basis of what we've said or some attitude we've demonstrated, really? When did this change for you? When did you walk away from Jesus? When did you push Jesus away? We seem to be amazed when unbelief and misbelief flows from the mouths of our fellow Christians and parades itself across their social media. But we have good company. Jesus is amazed at that too. The unbelief and the misbelief of even our fellow believers is something that amazes him, and I'm sure at times also dismays him, because the people that knew Jesus best that day correlate very well to the people sitting in this room this morning. When you think about the world in which we live, and you wonder just how many people know Jesus as well as you and I know him, because of the time we've spent in the Word, the time we've listened and studied and contemplated who he is and all that he offers us. Your Savior sees and hears all that goes on in our world, and it amazes him too, as it pushes him further and further away. Especially when it is you and I actively pushing him away. But praise our Lord Jesus and his Father, our Father, who sent him into our world to address this predicament, to never take our response to his word, our wandering from it, our pushing back against it as our final answer, or that of anyone we know and love. His Holy Spirit keeps coming in word and sacrament to work trust, reliance, understanding, acceptance in our hearts and our souls again and again and again. We praise him that he also offers us the opportunity to play a significant role in bringing his answers, in bringing his love, in bringing his salvation to those around us, those we love and have compassion for, those we are meeting for the very first time. What amazing privilege it is that because we know Jesus, because we trust Jesus, because we know the role he plays in our lives and the promises of eternity that he has made to us, that he allows us on a day-to-day basis to speak his amazing answers in love to a world that continually pushes back against him. As we listen and as we learn, as we grow, we can reach out to those around us who are just as broken as we are. Jesus amazed at unbelief. Now that you and I have contemplated a little bit more this morning, it really shouldn't surprise us. How can any human not want what Jesus has to offer? Why would anyone push Jesus away? That amazes me. And that should amaze you. But what should amaze us even more is that Jesus never gives up. He keeps reaching for you and for me and everyone else with his powerful word to speak his love and his forgiveness again and again and again, even to those who have given up on him. Amen. Please stand. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.